Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Therefore, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer my obeisances unto Him, who is beyond the conception of human speculation, the mind, activities, words and arguments, who is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, by whom the entire cosmos is maintained, and by whom we can conceive of its existence. Let me simply offer my obeisances, for He is beyond my contemplation, speculation, and meditation. He is beyond all of my material activities. Purport. One simply has to realize the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not try to understand Him by any material means, subtle or gross. Mother Yashoda, being a simple woman, could not find out the real cause of the vision. Therefore, out of maternal affection, she simply offered obeisances unto the Supreme Lord to protect her child. She could do nothing but offer obeisances to the Lord. It is said, Achintya khalu ye bhava natams tarkena yojayet. Mahabharat Bhishma Parva 522. One should not try to understand the Supreme Cause by argument or reasoning. When we are beset by some problem for which we find no reason, there is no alternative than to surrender to the Supreme Lord and offer Him our respectful obeisances. Then our position will be secure. This was the means adopted in this instance also by Mother Yashoda. Whatever happens, the original cause of the Supreme Personality of God is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva karana karanam. When the immediate cause cannot be ascertained, let us simply offer our obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Mother Yashoda concluded that the wonderful things she saw within the mouth of her child were due to Him, the Supreme Lord, and she could not clearly ascertain the cause. Therefore, when a devotee cannot ascertain the cause of suffering, he concludes, Tattenukampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam hridvagvapurbhir vidhadhan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadayabhak. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. The devotee accepts that it is due to his own past misdeeds that the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, has caused him some small amount of suffering. Thus he offers obeisances to the Lord again and again. Such a devotee is called Muktipade Sadayabhak. That is, he is guaranteed his liberation from this material world. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Matra sparshastu konteya shitoshna sukha dukkhadaha agama paino nityas tamstitikshasva bharata. We should know that material suffering due to the material body will come and go. Therefore, we must tolerate the suffering and proceed with discharging our duty as ordained by the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Yuthapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So before I start, I'd just like to seek the blessings of all the devotees present. I'm definitely not qualified to be sitting here in front of all of you, but as an act of purification, I will try my best, and please bless me so I can say something, so your time is worthwhile. Thank you. So this verse is very philosophical. I don't know why I got this one. Of all the verses of past time in this chapter, I had to get the one with philosophy. But it's a very simple philosophy. And many of the words, I'm sure, if you're a little bit acquainted, then are very much, you know, flashy. You can recognize some of the words. Vitarka gochara. Vitarka gocharam. That's the verse in the first line. Tarka is logic. Vitarka is very good logic. And gocharam is pertaining to the senses or sense perception. So Yashoda Devi, after experiencing what she has seen in Krishna's mouth, she is concluding that she cannot ascertain the cause of this, you know, happening. And she is now referring to the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, because we'll find that she understands whatever is happening in her life is definitely governed by the Supreme Lord. Now, whether we can understand that or not is a different thing, and this is the subject of this verse. But she is saying that the Supreme Lord's activities are vitarka gocharam. That we cannot understand them even by the best type of logic, by the best type of logician, and even through sense perception. To further explain this verse, this subject, vitarka gocharam, she says, cheta mana karma vachobhir anjasa. So putting all these things together, you know, the cheta, or the consciousness, or the intelligence, mana, the mind, karma, the activities, and vacha, the words, we cannot understand Krishna. And in this, there is some, in the purport, Prabhupada uses the word subtle or gross. We cannot understand Krishna using our faculties, whether subtle or gross. So the mind, the intelligence, these are subtle. And the karma or activities are gross, and vacha is similar. Yadashraya, shelter of the Supreme Lord. You can understand Krishna only through Yadashraya yena yatha pratiyate. It is through His mercy that we perceive things in this world. And therefore, pranata, I offer my respects. I can do nothing else but just take shelter. So, when we do ceremonies, we tell the people that yes, we are performing this ceremony for, you know, whatever the desire may be, but understand that the level of our performance is at a standard, very low. And the standard of Krishna You know, like, say, for example, deity worship as well. You know, we can do our best, but the level of Krishna's standard is supremely high. The standard of the gopi, standard of Krishna. So then I tell them that how is it that your worship will be accepted by Krishna? If your level of worship is, you know, ground level and Krishna's level is in the sky, then how is it that your whatever you're doing, whatever we're trying to do, can be accepted by Krishna? How is this gap filled? So then I tell them that when our mood of service is sincere, and our endeavor and our desire is sincere, then mercy fills the gap. And Krishna accepts our worship, even impure, through this yadashraya, through this mercy. And that gap is filled, then even our lowest type of worship is accepted. You know, there's the story of the Brahmana, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's looking at this Brahmana who's crying while reading the Gita. So he asks him, you know, why are you crying? And apparently he was holding the Gita upside down as well, you know. So why are you crying? And he says, you know, my spiritual master asked me to read the Gita, but I'm illiterate. I cannot read. So then, but I'm looking and seeing how, you know, Krishna has become the charioteer of Arjuna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is perfect. You've understood the Gita. So it's our effort, completely, you know, innocent, but it's the mercy of Krishna that fills the gap. So there's many, many nice points explained in this, in the purport. First, Prabhupada is explaining this verse is talking about how Krishna is not understandable, or the Supreme Lord and His workings are not understandable. And He says that when a person, he accepts that the Supreme Lord and His activities are not understandable, and he takes shelter of the Supreme, that is a secure position to be in. That's the securest. That's where a devotee resides, in that secure position. We know this world is a world full of suffering, onslaught from all sides by material nature. So we have to all try to come to the secure position. It's like in the army, when there's a war going on, there's bullets and, you know, missiles everywhere. You got to be in the safe, secure position. So what is the secure position the devotee is situated in? Mother Yashoda. You know, we hear stories that there's still people living with the experiences of war, with the experiences of the Second World War, and they're completely at unrest. Their minds, they're basically gone, you know, haywire, and they have to have treatments and so many types of psychological help to make them, you know, steady. But this is the steadiness of a devotee, the secure position of a devotee who may go through so many difficult situations in this world, but he is in a secure position, you know. If you look at the lives of the Pandavas, if we ever experienced any of those sufferings, then we would have lost the plot a long time ago. We would have given up. You know, from the very childhood, they were continuously not just faced with, you know, pushing around or not having enough prasad. They were faced with, you know, threats to their life. From the very start of their life in Hastinapur, until they were in the forest, they were okay. Those type of sufferings they could deal with. Right? It's a very interesting point. When they're in the forest, there's sufferings from animals, you know, the weather, And all of those things, they were happily being able to deal with. Yeah, a tiger attacks, no problem, you know. But in Hastinapur, in the comfort of the palace, there was another type of threat that was much more difficult than living in the forest, in the wild. And this was threat from your own people. This was a threat from your cousins. This was a threat from your uncle. So, but they were always, you never hear that, you know, today Yudhishthira Maharaj had to go through counseling for, you know, the mental pressure he was under. No, he's always giving counsel to the others because they're in the secure position. The Vedic tradition, you know, you may say, well, Lord, they didn't know Krishna at that time. They weren't thinking of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. But this is not just the path of bhakti, but the whole Varnashram system is also teaching the secure position. It's teaching how to be dependent on the Supreme Lord. There's a beautiful quote by Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs also went through a lot of suffering in his life. You know, some sufferings that are really unbearable. You know, sufferings of, he established the company, you know, Macintosh, and then he got fired from his own company through cheat or whatever happened. And things like this, and relationships, and all of the other things. But in his later days, he says, you cannot connect the dots looking forward. In life, we're always trying to connect the dots looking forward. Okay, from here I'll do this and then this and that and that's it. I attain perfection. He says, you cannot connect the dots looking forward, but you can connect the dots looking backward. And see how your life has formed through the various things that have happened. You have to trust. He says, you have to trust that the dots will connect to your future. That all that's happening is forming your future. Trust that. Trust in something. Your gut, destiny, karma, whatever. And he says, this principle has changed my life. So for us, Steve Jobs is no big guy. But in the outside world, Steve Jobs is a hero, is a legend for technology. But he is talking about a principle that we're talking about as well. You know, difficulties come, and he's a person who went through difficulties, but he's wise. His experience gave him wisdom. So there must have been some mode of goodness there to give him this experience that whatever is happening has a purpose. All you can do, maybe he didn't surrender to Krishna. He did have some prasad through the, you know, Food for Life vans. But he can understand. Krishna is not in the forefront, but he can understand that there's something in control. And he's saying that principle has changed his life. This is, he's coming to the secure position to understand that there's something there. Srila Prabhupada, in his you know, preaching, he met one person who, I don't remember if it was a reporter or just a normal person, who asked him that, you say that the purpose of, you know, the final point is that you understand that you cannot understand Krishna. Yeah? So in your realization, you're meant to come to a point where you realize that Krishna is not understandable. So I said, why are you writing so many books? Why don't you just write, you know, instead of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, you just have something like International Society for You Cannot Understand Krishna Consciousness. He said something around, this is paraphrasing. But the fact Prabhupada said that yes, this is all to make us understand that we cannot understand. So the human mind cannot accept a simple fact like, you know, Prabhu, you'll never be able to understand Krishna. We say, excuse me, who are you to tell me that I cannot understand Krishna? And therefore, through reading so many literatures, you know, understanding so many pastimes, we're meant to come to the point that, yes, Krishna cannot be understood. And it's not only through literature, it's in our lives as well. You know, we may take to a venture thinking that, you know, I'm a devotee of Krishna. Yatra Yogeshwarat Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shrir Vijayo Bhutir. Wherever there is Krishna, there will be victory, there will be opulence. So let me take to this venture. And you think you've got it. Krishna is in the Gita. Whatever I do, if I have Krishna, you know, a photo of Krishna in my pocket, or I have a frame, you know, photo of Krishna in my house, then 100% I'll be successful. 100% my business will be successful. And then business goes down. And you think, no, no, no. What is this? How can Krishna do this to me? So we're thinking we can understand Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Gornitaya ki jai. So we cannot understand. We should not ever think that, okay, now I've got it. Now I know what it's all about. I figured Krishna out. Because Krishna, he'll play the trick and he'll bring you back to ground level. There are people who think they have understood. Prabhupada, there's a famous story of Saraswati, where the devotees brought these two gentlemen who proclaim to know all the Vedas and know the Shastras. And Prabhupada said, okay, no problem, very good. So, who is God? Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And they said, well, that's a very big topic, you know, we have to discuss that. That'll take, you know, a few hours to figure that out. And he asked Saraswati, who was only a very young girl at that time, he says, so Saraswati, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? She says, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the sadhus, or these big philosophers, were ashamed that, you know, Prabhupada said, look, even a young girl knows, and you don't know. Another person came. The devotees brought this person who could say that, who could recite the whole Gita in 45 minutes. You know, we hear that Krishna and Arjuna spoke the Gita for 45 minutes only. So there was one sadhu who could recite all 700 verses of the Gita in 45 minutes. And Prabhupada asked, can you live the Gita for 45 minutes? And immediately there was quiet, because we may think we've figured it out, but Maya, or Yoga Maya, will bring us to realize that no, Krishna is ununderstandable. Then Prabhupada talks about how Mother Yashoda is a simple woman. And that she just thought, if I can't figure it out, let me take shelter of Krishna. This is our position as well. It's not all, she was a woman, so she didn't understand. No. You know, we are all Prakriti. We're all nature. We're all, you know, feminine in the service of Krishna. And the thing is, we think we are not simple. We hope, we try to be very technical and, you know, very smart. But actually, our position is that of a simple woman in relation to Krishna. The Washington Post, they did a study on the value of a mother. And they said, you know, the mother is the most valuable person. She is the driver, she is the cook, she is the cleaner, she is, you know, everything. And they put, per year you spend, if you had to pay for your mother, you would spend around, you know, £300,000 per year. One of the things they said about the mother, they said that the mother is the psychiatrist as well. You know, for the children get hurt, the children, you know, have a fight or get bullied. Then the mother has to deal with the mind of the child. And, you know, she says, beta, don't worry, it's okay. Theek ho jayega, it'll be okay, don't worry. So what is the mother doing? The mother is also guiding her child to this secure position. The mother is bringing the child to think that, look, you know, whatever happened is not that it's good that it's happened, but whatever happened is, you know, forget it. Just depend on me, or depend on your teachers, depend on Krishna in the best case scenario. So this is the mother also bringing the child to the secure position. She says, "Oh Krishna, oh Lord, oh Supreme Personality of Godhead, please protect my child." When you look in the mouth of your child, you probably expect, she was expecting dirt, but at best you'll get maybe a cavity or, you know, a tooth shaking. But here she saw something completely extraordinary. So she doesn't know what to think about it. You know, first she is blaming herself. Maybe I'm dreaming. Maybe, you know, I'm having hallucinations. You know, so busy in service, I didn't sleep well. You know, and now I'm seeing something. But then she's saying, as long as my child is safe, as long as he is okay, then I don't need to worry. Therefore, O Supreme Lord, please protect my child. You know, she's a simple woman, but Prabhupada says they're the greatest, they're the highest philosophers. You know, in the Vraj Bhasha, there is a verse, there is a prayer that a sadhu, he recites, glorifying the gopis, glorifying the elderly gopis. He says, Shesh Mahesh Ganesh Dinesh Jinki Mahima Nirantar Gave Tahan Ahir Ki Choriya Chachyavar Chachpe Nach Nachave. That yes, they're simple women, but look at their power. Look at their exalted position. Shesh is Ananta Shesh, Mahesh is Indra, Ganesh is Lord Ganesh, Dinesh, Mahesh is Lord Shiva, and Dinesh is Indra. He's saying all of these people, these great personalities, jinki mahima nirantar gava, they're continuously singing the glories of this young boy. These high philosophers, high intellectuals, highly exalted personalities, but tahan ahir ki choriya, you know, these simple women of Vrindavan, ahir ki choriya means they're not even high class, they're of Vaishyas, Vaishya community. Tahin ahir ki choriya, chachyabar chach pe nachna chave, just for a little bit of buttermilk, they can make this personality dance according to their desires. They're not giving him like the sages and the demigods. They give exalted offerings, you know, of great opulence. But here, they offer a palmful of buttermilk. They say, Krishna, I'll give you this. You'll show me a dance, you know, dance for me. And just with their little bit of allurement, they can make Krishna dance. So this is the potency of these simple women of Vrindavan. Another verse in the Bhagavatam says that Kritapunna Punjaha, Brahma and the demigods are bewildered, thinking of the Brajbhasis and the cowherd boys as, you know, some frivolous children. what adhikar do they have to jump on the shoulders of Krishna and wrestle and beat him up? So then, they're not simple. They're not frivolous children. They've come to this position after great merits. Krita punna punjaha. They have a great stock of pious credits, and therefore they've got this position. And just one thing I want to conclude on about the secure position. The secure position is in understanding the conclusion. Huh? The process is not the secure position. So these tarka, the process of logic, you know, we argue and we may try to understand that logic is used by the acharyas to explain the scripture to us. You know, this, they say, Krishna says in the Gita, you have to control your mind. Your karma has to be pure. You know, your words have to be pure. You have to use your words in devotional service. Your activity is in devotional service. So, and in this verse, Yashoda Mai is completely rejecting logic, sense perception. I mean, how can you not use your sense perception in advancing? You know, if you do devotional service, if there is no little bit of bliss, little bit of happiness, then why will you continue? So sense perception, all of these things are very important in our devotional service, right? But these are the process. These are the means to an end of devotional life. In the Gita, Krishna, in a few places, not once, but many times, he says that, you know, the studying the Vedas, austerities, charity, all of these will not give you credit to come to me. They will not allow you to understand me. So, but it is only by devotional service or bhakti mam abhijanati. The secure position is in the conclusion. So if jnana doesn't lead to bhakti, then it is not the secure position. If logic does not help you come to devotional life, you know, people have concluded logically that, you know, the devotional service is not the one. And logically, I'm sure you can make some arguments to beat that. So if that logic doesn't help you come to devotional life, then it is useless. You know, Prakashananda Saraswati, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're the highest logicians, you know. They defeat all other logicians of India. Prakashananda, he's got 60,000, this number of disciples. You know, what caliber of logic and, you know, understanding and reasoning is he teaching his disciples? But still, because it's not coming to bhakti, it's not the secure position. It's not satisfactory. And the conclusion, as stated in the Gita, and as you can see in this verse, is pranatosmi, taking shelter. Offering respects. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. And the interesting point to understand is Mother Yashoda, she also tried. She tried logic. She tried reasoning. You know, we don't, it's great to just jump to, oh, it's all in the hands of Krishna. And if you have that understanding, that's great. But for practitioners, we should, to come to that stage, there's no harm in using logic, in trying to understand your situation. Okay, you know, why did I hit my toe on the stone during parikram? Or maybe you're looking at the birds in the tree and not looking on the floor, you know. So there is, try to understand your position as well. Yes, you know, we think, purify, my karma is going. That's great. But also, there's a scope of trying to use these faculties, the mind, the intelligence, karma, tarka, sense perception. You know, Prabhupada said that you chant Hare Krishna for 1 week, if you do not feel any result, then I will tell you to stop chanting. So sense perception. He's saying that you will find something in this chanting. There will be some benefit. You will feel it. So he's saying that use this process of sense perception and you will come to devotional service. Yashoda Mai, she tried. Or am I sleeping? No, I'm awake. Am I dreaming? Am I having hallucination? Or so she tried, analyzed, and then she said, okay, I cannot understand. Surrender to Krishna. So, thank you. Those are some points I got from this verse. Please forgive me for being all over the shop. I was been very busy recently. But I hope that was of some value. If there is anything you'd like to ask, then please do feel free.